The biggest opportunity is basically the scale factor. That is, from my perspective, the biggest opportunity AI carries for every discipline, right? Business, cyber, development. We're seeing also that with AI generating coding. So it's basically the scale factor.
Jose, it's great to have you on the show where we tackle SAP security together, and looking forward to our topic today, discussing AI responsibility and, of course, the digital core in terms of securing ERP or SAP in this age of kind of intelligent systems. But before we dive in and go across the different topics, and for the listeners, of course, who might not know you, who is Jose, your journey in and out of SAP? You worked with SAP for a very long time, different roles, and now at PwC. So maybe a little bit about you, Jose.
Super, Wasim. Thanks for having me here. Hello to all our audience. And my name is Jose Marquez. I'm coming from a 15-year history having worked at SAP. I started out of their headquarters in Waldorf. I started many probably back in the day as a ABAP developer and just work my way into other roles, right? Senior developer consultant. I was architect in different aspects, in different parts of the organization and the portfolio. At some point, I got interested into the cybersecurity and security topics. I was a security researcher at the SAP Security Research Labs, part of the Sophia Antipolis. We've worked. I had the honor to work in several patents that are still relevant today. That was kind of like the official start of my career into cyber. Well, then I dived into other topics. Went like, you know, how is in cyber? You go.
Absolutely.
You go first into generalist, then you specialize in things and you become, and you go more into the general aspects and then you specialize again. I was working with customers such as the French state, right? We were working in their advanced public safety and security program. And I'm also of a European white hacker collective. Right after SAP, I was so much into cyber already that I was the CISO and DPO of a telco company of Morgan Stanley. And then I went full on into what it means to be responsible for cybersecurity and data protection. Having basically the full responsibility of it. And currently I'm the Chief AI Officer of the SAP practice at PwC US, the SAP practice of the US companies. Even though I'm not focused into cyber per se today, you know, the topic is basically permeates every aspect of our life.
Absolutely. I mean, You went from cybersecurity, or let's go back a little bit, developing ABAP to cybersecurity, and now Gen AI and everything that revolves around AI. But do you still touch base a little bit when you are with your customers around security of AI in general? Or is it mainly on enabling them in terms of business processes or enabling AI within those customers?
No, I mean, we discuss everything, right? I mean, enabling AI is, I would say the easy part. I'm not sure. Well, definitely this is not only what our customers look having from us. They basically want to be educated in all aspects, right? The security topic in SAP and around SAP is becoming more and more top of mind. Ever since we have AI, it began a little bit with IoT back in the day, right? five, six years ago, when you were trying to connect shop floor systems with SAP directly, right? And it was this kind of like a new type of system reaching out to SAP. But now it's basically, I mean, with AI and with AI agents, you're basically having a non-human identities acting basically as users, right? That's basically the main point. And in terms of security, I mean, basically, SAP security is a combination of code, privileged access management, access governance, identity management, infrastructure. So it's basically, I mean, when you talk about SAP security, you shouldn't understand it only as managing identity or privileged access to SAP. Right? Mm-hmm. That's one aspect of many. SAP security and SAP from a security standpoint is basically a combination of identity, access, application server security, comprising also coding, infrastructure, I mean, because it reaches out till databases and beyond. And well, it has its own logging monitoring, right?
Yeah.
And not forgetting about data protection. So yeah, those are the aspects that sometimes they do not reach to the surface or don't have too much visibility when talking about SAP security.
Okay. And I mean, I caught a few areas, like specifically when you are talking around SAP. So maybe to dive in from speaking about AI around SAP, going into those different governance. But generally, right now, we see this kind of increase of integrating AI into business workflows, into decision making, as you said, like acts as a human in making these decisions. Maybe taking one step back before the business processes and the workflows of how they can work. From a cybersecurity perspective, and in your opinion, how does this change the attack surface around these business critical systems like SAP, for instance? Because now we're talking around the SAP, not specifically in SAP, as you mentioned previously. So how does this change the attack surface from that perspective?
Yeah, sure. It basically, I mean, I would say that the attack surface, I would say it becomes more visible. I mean, for sure, it's been enhanced because at the end of the day, AI agents are, again, a combination of code, a combination of permissions, mm-hmm. combination of scope, right? There are new artifacts and any type of artifact being deployed on SAP systems. And that's already per se an extension of the an enhancement of the attack surface. I would say, I mean, in my very humble opinion, I would say that the deployment of AI and AI agents, it basically makes more obvious the already available or the already present attack surface. Why? Because I mean, for decades, SAP was mostly a system of execution. Humans made decisions, SAP executed them. Today we're entering in a different era, one where AI systems are not just advising, but mm-hmm. act, right? I mean, before agentic AI, we're having ML and we're having all these advanced analytics, you know, and it was like preventive and predictive kind of. So it was fine, right? Like at the end of the day, the decision was, if they're relying on the end user, and we could actually make that user accountable for everything he did. Now, this is where the idea of agentic AI comes into play, and they basically can take goals, action, and execute tasks across systems. And instead of a human logging into an SAP system, let's say analyzing a procurement spend, identifying suppliers, creating a sourcing strategy, or whatever, you know, SAP users do in SAP systems. And we're basically moving away from the user taking care of every aspect of a process to digital augmentations first, reaching, right? Like everybody knows about the vision about digital co-work, right? At the beginning, it will be almost everything kind of having a semi-autonomous implementation, right? When you will still having some human in the loop intervention, rights, not leaving everything fully to the agent. But well, I mean, this is just a phase, or a phase in between. For sure. Lots of people out there, lots of SAP clients would love to basically automate more and more. But yeah, basically to have a more autonomous ERP, an agentic ERP.
Absolutely. I mean, this is something that we now see as well. I mean, there's these usually posts and some research I'm looking into on how possibility of AI removing even the use of ERP systems. But I think we're very far from there to reach there. But I do want to hook on one thing you said, where traceability or accountability is quite important. So from your experience, when an AI system or when an agentic AI recommends or even triggers a certain action that can probably impact a business process or a critical business process, who ultimately carries this responsibility?
Well, that is a great question, right? Like, that is absolutely a great question. It is a question that will be asked by internal audits. It is a question that will be asked by external audit procedures. Are the questions that are needed to maintain certain certificates, right? In certain industries, if we deploy an AI agent that is not just having a human in the loop, but every step on which these agents commit something to the database or in process, right? Like if we have intelligence with autonomy, then basically we need to start tracing, logging, controlling, and auditing every step and every action of this agent, because then all decisions this agent made, all the information or all the data it generated, that will be influencing further process downstream, right? In the ERP, everything needs to be logged, everything needs to be traced, because basically these agents, well, first the agents will need to be made, let's say, in a very, just taking the analogy to humans, but will need to be audited and made accountable for their actions. And then for sure, if there was something wrong, if some wrong decisions were taken, then you'll need to look into the agents, into the configuration of the agents, let's say, into the knowledge base version, into the system prompt, into the integrations, into the configurations of the agents to look, okay, what happened to this agent? Say, like, did something wrong, and you were really sure about the knowledge base, but whilst the system prompt got updated, or I don't know, some rules, guardrails got updated or outdated, right? And then you have it, right? So you should be able to track, trace, and audit basically everything at that's an agentic decision. Otherwise, you might risk, I mean, besides, let's say, some bad decisions, right? Like, there were some regrettable decisions, but you can deal with them as fine. But if you're not able to audit the behavior of your own agents, then you will start having some troubles when an external audit comes around the corner, or when you have to comply to certain certificates. And imagine you will be having a certain aspect of your system that will be acting as a black box from an audit perspective. That would not so ideal.
No, I see the point. I definitely do, but does bring back a question in my head, whether it's a two-part question, I would say, from that perspective. And just looking into history, especially around historically with implementation deployments around, I'm going to specifically target SAP right now, when it is specifically around SAP, security always lagged. It is a great ERP software. It's a great business tool. And now with AI, a lot of organizations have this some sort of strategy, I would say AI strategy, but security governance, kind of lags behind. Now, the two-part question is, or yeah, I would say two-part questions. First of all, what are these common gaps they see when you have this kind of high ambition and low AI governance? That's from an organization's point of view. And based on what you said, are regulators and even audit companies ready or have the means to actually start auditing these agentic AIs based on these kind of deployments or based on these responsibilities and requirements that businesses put right now towards its AI strategy?
Yeah, I mean, it's also a great follow-up question. Before auditing or being able to audit agents, I mean, like folks need to be able to capture the right metadata.
Yeah.
So far, I would say agentic AI agents are being treated as, I mean, like from a technical standpoint, from a deployment standpoint, they are being treated as a regular pieces of software. Why them? And you basically, you just press play and you're ready to go. You monitor here and there, right? There are no standards in monitoring agents, such as, you know, there are no comprehensive standards in monitoring human employees, right?
Exactly.
Both. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And if both are having if the end goal, right? If the objective is that at some point in time, AI agents will become as autonomous as a human in the system, right? Then there is no template actually to monitor them fully and to audit them fully as if they were a human employee, right? Even if from the very beginning there are non-human identities that will be take over and over more tasks of the human identity, right? And they will have, let's say, a feature completeness, feature equality among the human agents or like a human and an AI agent. Let's say in some scenario, right? Let's say at some point an agent and a human need to do exactly the same, or they're able to do exactly the same thing in the system. So before we were able to audit the human by asking him, right? Okay, how did you took this decision? Yeah, I got an email. And actually, it was an emergency. It was a fire drill and I had to do something quick. Okay. Well, you have an email? Yeah, sure. Okay. You have it. Okay, cool. Super. Let's all good. Next question, right? This is basically how we audit humans, right now. And how do we want to, or how are we going to be able to audit AI agents? That's a big question. Are we going to ask them questions, right? Such as if they were the very humans they might be automating the activities from, or any other methodology, basically probably more or less with less live interaction. That's a big question. What we know is that at least from a compliance standpoint and from a audit standpoint, clients and the whole industry, I would say, I mean, the whole industries and sectors will need to evolve. We can probably try, and I imagine, right, like in a couple of years from now, asking the AI agent the question of why the AI agent did something or didn't do something, and that will be fine. But probably 5 years from now, those questions will be probably already coming with the log trail of the agent, right? As the agent does its stuff.
You speak probably to a lot of leaders or cybersecurity leaders that are trying to position AI towards their strategy. How would you at least recommend, or how should those leaders discuss this inside the enterprise? Like, there are definitely areas to put around agentic AI, or depending on the adoption that is being carried out within the organization, what kind of discussions should start right now, or how should leaders discuss this? And maybe on a side note, are they discussing it? But how should they discuss this kind of governance, accountability, guardrails that need to be happening inside the enterprise?
Yeah, that's mostly my starting topic with my clients, and it basically starts with a risk management question, right? Like, you would like to automate this process, or everybody's automating, and you want to automate as well. Cool. So it starts all with a risk management question. Okay. So you want to automate this process and exactly this and the steps at this and these points. So how does your risk management or appetite look like? Right. If you say you can deal, you have so much volume of something being processed, and you basically and your team cannot possibly deal with all the volume of, let's say, orders, production orders, or something of the sort, then you say, okay, look, if it's better that I process something, at least try to automate it. Let's say, give or take, yeah, I have some mistakes there, but if I do that, then better to leave money on the table, or to leave things unprocessed, or maybe if I'm not processing the things quick enough, I'm basically acquiring penalties from my contracts or other related things. And then, and only then, is when together with the client we agree that it's actually better to engage into agentic and do something about it than not do anything about it. So this is basically the first question, risk management. And it's actually a bit of a question. So once we agree, okay, well, it's not good to acquire penalties, or to be subject to other things, or just to leave money on the table. And there's not enough people, right? With the right skill sets to bear the amount of work. Okay, cool. Then let's go after this. And deploy some agentic workflows to support everything. So and that will be basically risk management will be basically the first aspect, or is the first aspect I discovered.
I mean, risk management, a very loaded topic and subject that can open up so many days. But is there any kind of frameworks? I know you mentioned earlier that there isn't this kind of standard, but is there any semi-frameworks or principles that organizations can adopt right now?
I mean, there are some. Up here on this side of the Atlantic, right? I'm aware of the EU AI Act. In Europe, that one is not so relevant. Here in the Americas, we basically kind of go with the standard frameworks, right? NIST, ISO 27001, try that everything we do, development wise, deployment wise, and scope wise, is basically answering already these questions, that we do not deviate from the information security management system, from the ISMS, that the client's already having. On top of that, we also like a lot to apply to every relevant, meaning automated agentic implementation. We like to apply the top 10 vulnerabilities that have been worked out by OWASP. Right?
That's a great resource. Yeah,
they're always a good guidance. I think they pretty sure they just got updated and mapped against other frameworks that already exist. So that's also great guidance. Also prevent situations, right? Even if you did something or everything right, you know, like on the paper, following the standards or the controls your ISMS it's already having. It's always a good idea to apply the OWASP top 10 vulnerabilities. Just to be
It is quite. I've had a look at it. Quite a extensive resource, and really a lot of work has been done around there. I did see that NIST has released some sort of standard. It's not a standard, but maybe a framework or regulation. Haven't dug deep into it. Didn't dig deep to it, but I do believe that there's still a lot to adopt when it comes to these frameworks around agentic AI or around the adoption of AI. I want to zoom a little bit around cyber security. So how it is reshaping, or AI is reshaping cybersecurity. From your point of view, where do you see the biggest impact in security operations? Detection, investigations, automation, or completely something else when it comes to AI making this kind of big impact there?
I mean, in terms of security operations, AI, from my very humble point of view, the impact should be in operations.
Okay.
Why? Because basically, we're going to be attacked. By malicious agents leveraging AI. So it's also getting automated on the other side, right? You basically will be in need of less human labor to perform attacks or campaigns or whatever the malicious side will be performing. And we just had the news, right? Like, it was one of these two famous LLM companies, right? And one of them got used to hack a government and to hack into other things, right? Being made that it was doing a red teaming exercise, and that they basically right? And it was like, you know, it was not even kind of like a state sponsored or whatever. It was just someone, right? So
absolutely.
And so imagine now the power that organized actors or state sponsors actors are going to be having in months from now, right? I say that the impact that AI should be having. I am actually not aware. I don't have the stats where the impact is now, but the impact should be geared towards operations. Because this is where, security operation center or the playbooks being run, or the orchestration and from detection to orchestration of actions and playbooks should actually be happening. This is where I see, or where I hope that we integrate AI as well.
Yeah. I mean, it is, you said it correctly, or AI is actually being used by both attackers and defenders. Even if you go to consulting companies, I mean, look, we are testing with different stuff around AI to improve our capabilities as well as our defense capabilities. We spoke about accountability from a higher level, like a management perspective. If we are on the same topic when it comes to security decisions, is there a risk that organizations begin to completely rely or too heavily rely on AI-driven security decisions? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, there's always the risk of, life in general, in terms of, overdoing,
yes.
Right? General risk of life, right? Even if, applies to your investment strategy, right? Don't put all the eggs in one basket, right? Is the saying. Yeah. I mean, like, AI should allow security organizations to scale, right? Because now, and because this is going to be the thing. So far, our scale attacks were geared towards, large organizations, right? Where the upside was big enough to invest such amount of resources. Now you just need to basically get an AI tool to do the job for you. And you don't even need to be any known malicious actor or state sponsor or whatever. So imagine this recent attack would have had the instruction of like, yeah, don't only do this to this, but do a red teaming exercise to every discoverable IP address in the internet. So from that will be still running, right? And well, so the point of this is the point I want to make is that the cost at least in terms of human labor and profit logistics will be so reduced that now large scale and pervasive attacks will be geared to basically everybody, even at a individual level. There is actually, logistically, I mean, for sure you need to have some money, right? But besides that, you can actually just give it a range of IPs just do a rank teaming exercise in the country of, you know, choose your country. Yeah. And that's it, right? And so that's going to be the problem. Well, that's going to be the situation the attacks will be basically just getting started out of the blue and by virtually anybody. So we actually need, in all security layers, need to basically gear up for that, right? From infrastructure security providers to application security providers to consultancies to basically everybody from layer one to layer seven, even to layer eight, right? Speaking about the user, so everybody needs to get ready for this wave that I don't hope, but I see it coming.
Yeah, you mentioned put your eggs in one basket. Quite a investment strategy, but also a strategy in life. Now, with that being said, you spoke about the AI role. What role should human analysts then continue to play in this hybrid of AI-assisted security environments?
They need to fulfill an oversight role. They need to basically they'll need to embody a manager, basically the manager of a team, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And basically a manager managing managers, because maybe these individuals having these roles will not be able to follow up on every decision being made by the agents being deployed or automations being deployed into their landscape or into their field responsibility, but they will be having agents checking upon every decision being made, checking on if everybody is having the same knowledge base, checking if there wasn't a tool hijack, a misuse or exploitation, if the agents are still running according their privilege access, if there is nothing unexpected or communicated, exfiltrated, right? Or maybe some agents being gone rogue because of some wrong configurations or some poisoning of the knowledge base. So all these things should be monitored and reported to the human analyst.
Humans managing agents across their environments. Humans managing their managing agents. But let's try to tie everything. I want to try to tie everything together. I mean, it is not, of course, just AI, not a topic only affecting core business applications or at least the digital core. But this is where a lot of critical information, a lot of critical data exists at the heart of these digital core or ERP systems. So when we are at least coming back to SAP environments where they are at the heart of many organizations, from your perspective, how should leaders maybe think about these AI risks? Because also SAP is introduced several capabilities now and pushing towards agentic AI. How should leaders think about these risks, AI risks specifically, when protecting their digital core?
Yeah, as I just said previously, it's all a risk perspective. If the risk is bearable, then why not, right? And SAP is actually having the SAP Joule tool that can be activated along your SAP transaction is actually a great way to start the AI or the AI agentic journey specifically for an SAP ERP. So so that's a great way to start. These Joule agents or assistants are basically embedded into your transactions. So it basically lives inside the transaction. It can access its knowledge base. It's limited to the knowledge base of the transaction of the application that's actually deployed at. So it makes it a controlled start into the topic. Your end users can actually get familiarized with these new features, and before you go further, right? I mean, there will be for sure. I mean, SAP HANA Pro released the agent builder, and on BTP you can basically do whatever you want, right? That's your playground pass of SAP, so you can actually do all the full stack development you want to do. But in terms of like getting started, Joule, it's actually a great way to do it.
Okay, so I believe, I mean, there is definitely a lot of. Still, I had a look into it and around observability, at least around operations, as you mentioned earlier, it's still, of course, maturing. It is, yes, great, but it's still maturing to really, let's say, hold this kind of accountability or have somebody accountable. So there is a few stuff that definitely requires for customers to, or for people listening to take care when adopting. It's a great adoption or a great way to move. Like I've seen also from our perspective how we are doing things faster, doing things, working in a maybe more innovative way, I could say that, because of we are deploying these different stuff to also support in what we provide to customers, not just from a security perspective, but from that kind of understanding quite quickly the environment, what is going on, what is happening. And I do believe that within business processes, this is definitely something of great value. Before we start closing this, and I usually like to ask a question to the guest, to leave something for the audience, something memorable for the audience to take with them. From your experience, and now you're working a lot with major companies in this topic, from your opinion, what is the biggest opportunity and the biggest risk AI introduces for organizations?
The biggest opportunity is basically the scale factor. That is from my perspective, the biggest opportunity AI carries for every discipline, right? Business, cyber, development. We're seeing also that with AI generating coding. So it's basically the scale factor. But the biggest risk is that, from my perspective, the biggest risk is that humanity itself starts to get too comfortable to that, and that folks stop reading or writing. Right, their own email, and just prompting whatever they want to ask, and then just getting that email written for them, or you know, making the effort to go through a 10 pages a PDF, right? They just upload it and ask for the executive summary. I mean, that's okay, right? When you are in a hurry, but don't forget how to read a book. Don't forget how to scroll down to a PDF. Don't forget all that, right? Because then maybe in the future, when enough people forget about how to read actually something from beginning to an end, reading books without getting distracted, right? Or with remembering everything that was written on the book and having an opinion after that, that will be probably a skill that will be scarce in the future.
I like that. I do, because it reminded me of a of a post I saw of this newsletter or a newspaper released one of their edits or something, and there was at the end of one of the columns the prompt from ChatGPT where it tells you, should I do something else for you or try to summarize? So I do agree that reading is going to become is scarce, and there has been up to this point a few stories out there where auditors or consultants, even to bring it to that part of providing support and consultancy to customers without reading an actual outcome of what they are producing. It may, of course, there are a few stories out there that our listeners can read to, but I do agree on that final points from your side, Jose. Jose, thank you very much for joining the SAP Cybersecurity by NoMonkey. It's great to have you. Great to always speak to you about these topics. I mean, there's a lot of areas that we usually touch base on offline, but I enjoyed our talk and we definitely would have you back for different areas to talk to you soon.
Super, super, Wasim. Thank you for having me. Thanks to our
No, it was not. It was definitely not. Thank you, Jose, and I will see you soon.
Thanks, Jose. Take care.